Malach Mechaver, this is Binyamin Hammer at the National Council of Young Israel. I'd like to welcome Rebbe and Rabbanim that are here for conference call number 101. Thank you, Rebbe.
You're very welcome. Let's begin. Question one. A senior who has trouble walking and with steps and has some dementia, can I make it to shul for Megillah reading, but is able to hear it at home? What does he do about Parsha Zohar? Can I bring a small Sefer Torah to his house and lane Zohar without a minion? We do not approve as a rule of carrying a Sefer Torah from place to place. You may be aware of the fact that even when a Sefer Torah is taken to a Beis Avel, for example, or some other place where there are 10 people who are laning, that's itself a dispute. Here, there are three strikes. Number one, there's no minion. Number two, some dementia. Number three, it's the wrong time. It's not Shabbos Parsha Zohar. You do it on some, I presume, unless it means on Shabbos Zohar itself, then the third consideration would not apply. My impression was that it would be brought to him during the week. Either way, I think that it should not be done. He should read it from a Chumash. Two, can one be Yotzi Motzi others with the Megillah reading if they are ready, reading from a kosher Megillah while listening to a recording on headphones? Technically speaking, the answer to that question is yes. But to be careful, with headphones, there shouldn't be a problem of Eino Mashmia Leoznov. In other words, if the recording that's in your ears is so loud, you simply won't hear your own voice saying it. Mr. Brewer writes in Tough Resh Pei Tests of Cotton Hay, Sharatzians of Cotton Zion, according to some authorities, you are not Yotze. You're not Yotze. So, therefore, if you're reading it to yourself, don't use earphones. Just have a recording in the background, which will tell you what to do. I just saw somewhere today that one of the Choshev Rabbanim is put out a slow recording of the Megillah on a recording, so the person can, you know, listen to what he's saying and then have time to process it and read the Megillah himself from a kosher klaf. That's the proper way to go. It's interesting. The Piskei Tshuvos writes in Siman Tafresh Tadis, footnote 6, that if you're reading for others, you bedavka must use headphones and not use a background recording, because the Mishnah Berurah writes there in Sifkotan Yud Gimel, the case there is somebody else who's prompting the fellow who's laning. They didn't have such fancy equipment in those days. Maybe the person who's listening will be focused on the fellow who's reading not from the Megillah, which is no good. Here, too, we'll be focused on the voice from the person who made the recording, which is no good. Therefore, if someone else is around, you must use earphones. But he points out there in footnote 7, what I told you earlier, that it shouldn't be too loud, because you have to be mashmir le'oznav, so you put the earphones on a low volume. Number 3. For people who are not coming to shul, can they appoint someone to give machzor shekel on their behalf? The answer is yes. Machzor shekel is only a minig, as we see in Tofresh Tadi Dal Sif Aleph, and it can be done through a shliach. 4. May Zohar be lain Purim night before Megillah, if yes, with brachas. I do not believe it's proper to read Parsha Zohar Purim night. It's shalom bismano, it's at night, which is worse than during the day. And therefore, we rely on the Magen Avraham, who writes in Sima Tofresh Pehei, to come to shul in the morning, and you fulfill the mitzvah with Vayavo Amolek. Look at Mishnah Brurish, it's gone to Zion and the Sharatzian there, which many poskim say you can be Yotzut Vayavo Amolek. Not everyone agrees, but that's a preferred option. It goes back as far as the Magen Avraham. Those who disagree, they're afraid that Parsha Zohar, it says Timche Zecher Amolek, and Vayavo Amolek says Emche Zecher Amolek. So you're missing the whole idea of going to war. I said years ago, and I think they told me Rabbi Usher Weiss just said it wrote it in his most recent shiur, that for women, it's more likely they can fulfill the mitzvah with Vayavo Amolek, because women are not benos milchama, and if the commandment of Zohar applies to women, it's a big machlokas. If it does, it's not because of the war aspect, it's because of just remembering. And for just remembering, Vayavo Amalek would do. Similarly, with respect to a minion, the pashtus is the reason to you have need a minion if at all, the Rosh Hashanah seems to need a minyan midoraisa and brachas. That would be again because of the fact that Shalosh Mitzvahs Nisavi Yisrael B'Knisas Olaretz, make a point the king to destroy Amalek and to build the base of Mikdash. It's a chovos hatzibur, as opposed to the private obligation of Truma, Maisa, Shemitah, etc. And chovos hatzibur, the assumption is only applies to men who could constitute a tzibur, and therefore from the war perspective, the communal obligation perspective, that's presumably the reason to require a minyan midaraisa, as the Rosh says, that would not apply to women. So either they're putter completely, if it's only a communal responsibility, which many say. If you tell me they are obligated, it's truly nothing to do with communal responsibility, and therefore a minyan would not be required for women, even if it's required for men. Okay, number five. Is there a problem with extending the Suda and or consuming wine Purim day after Chatzos? Need one be concerned with entering Shabbos inebriated? The Ramah writes in Siman Tafresh Tzadihei Sivbeis, Yasu HaSuda B'Shachris Mishum Kvod Shabbos. Mr. Brewer says, Sivkod Yud Konem Chatzos Hayom. It's true that in the Orach HaShulchan Reish Mem Tesiv Zayin, he says it's enough to begin a meal before Chatzos. That's what he says there. But here, he quotes the Ramah verbatim, and Yasu means either the entire meal or most of the meal, and that should be done, in my opinion, before Chatzos. It was 1209 in New York. So the whole meal or most of the meal should be finished at that time. Why? B'nei Kvod Shabbos. As the Rosh Hashulchan himself says, he says, you shouldn't be roish l'yamale kreso, you shouldn't fill up your stomach. V'yaniach mokol l'kvod Shabbos, you have to move in your stomach for Kvod Shabbos. So you have to stop at Chatzos. In Siman Reish Mem Tes, he doesn't mention, in Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention Chatzos at all over there. Not at all. On the contrary, if you look at Reish Mem Tes, if it's a Sudas Rishus, it's also even in Shachris. If it's a Sudas Mitzvah, it's Mutter even after Milchak Tana. So the whole idea of Chatzos is not even found in Reish Mem Tes. But I guess the Aruch HaShulchan thought it's a good idea at least to start before Chatzos, as we see in other places. Arvi Pesachim Samach L'Mincha, and the Gemara suggests, we'll quote the one side, means Mincha Gedola. Samach L'Mincha means Chatzos. So there's a precedent for this particular time, and therefore it'll be enough to start as we have in Arvei Pesachim. It's enough to start. But here on Purim, people eat larger meals. The answer is whatever Sudas Mitzvah you're having on, any Sudas you're having on Erev Shabbos, it's fine not eating too much. Purim Sudas is usually much more significant, and therefore it's worthwhile for the Sudas to end at or about Chatzos. It's also a good idea to take a little bit off the top. You know, people have, you know, according to the Rambam, you need bus of the yayin, you have to wash. Okay. But, you know, we often at the end of the Purim Suda, people have all kinds of cakes and cookies and rich desserts, which is appropriate for a Suda Siyantif. But maybe this year you can skip it, because if you have too much, even at Chatzos, you will not be nichas the Shabbos with a proper appetite. Every person has to know his own metabolism and proceed accordingly. Okay. Inebriated? Oh, should never be inebriated. Never, ever, ever be inebriated. Not once in your whole life should ever be inebriated. You'll tell me, Ad lo yoda? There are more rights there. What do? You have, eat, drink a little bit more milimudo, and fall asleep. So hopefully for all of us, or most of us, whatever we drink is more than limudo. So you have a revius of yayin, 3 ounces of wine, that's more limudo, and you go to sleep. In typical years, that trick doesn't work, in my view, when you have the classic Purim Suda, which goes from the day into the night. There are reasons for it, because it could be that the non-Jewish day, when they wanted to kill us, went from day into the night, so we celebrate the night of Shushan Purim. That's the Minhag Yisrael, and therefore, if the meal goes into the night, perhaps you have to sleep on Purim day, so there's a need to have 2 different cups of wine. A cup of wine in the morning is what's called Mishta, and you take a little nap. And a cup of wine during the meal, which is called Simcha. You can have 2 cups of wine. In a year like this, when the Suda should be earlier, so it's possible to be, forgive the expression, kill 2 birds with 1 stone. You have 1 cup of wine during the meal, and you go to sleep after you finish benching. And this way, you have the Ad Lo Yoda, which is Mishta, at the same time as you have the cup of wine, which is Simcha, with the challah, with the meat. That's the proper way to fulfill the mitzvah of Purim, never to be inebriated. Not a year like this, not any other year. Six. Can a can opener that completely removes the top of a can, as opposed to the regular can openers which cut through the top, be used on Shabbos? Would this be different than opening a bottle? I'm not sure what regular can openers really mean, but I'll tell you what I think the halacha is. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yudalet Sivches, if you want to break something to get to the food, it's considered like chosolos, like kripa yagozim, it's permissible, unless it makes a Pesach Yofer. And Siv there in Sivav, Hatozah Tzrosha Chavitz, you let it take slice off the whole top of a barrel, not a lola Pesach Mechavin. And therefore, it seems to me that opening cans, strictly speaking, should be permissible. If you're taking the entire top off, that's like being Matiz Rosh HaKavis. What's not allowed, what's called a Pesach Yofer. What's a Pesach Yofer? So it could be that if you have the old style can openers for liquids, you make a special kind of a shaped triangle to let the juice come out this side and the air go in on that side, that might be considered to be a Pesach Yofer. Or, for example, a soda can where they have special kinds of openings. You pull on the tab, whoop, it opens up. I'm sure they spent a lot of money in their R&D to figure out how to make a precise opening that a person can drink from. If you'll drink from the can, it shouldn't be too big, shouldn't be too small, shouldn't have a particular kind of shape to be friendly to your lips and whatever. That's a Pesach Yofer, in my opinion, and that should not be done. But taking off the whole top is not a Pesach Yofer. And a bottle, well, it depends. I'm not sure what bottle the person means. If it's what today, most bottles are twist-off cap bottles. In my view, twist-off cap bottles are permissible because when you open that bottle, that kind of a bottle cap is a kli hoya hove v'yia. It's a kli when it was first put on. It's a kli right now when you take it off. And it's a kli when you put it back again. So you know, you didn't make a new kli. It was a kli, it's a kli, and will be a kli. I don't think it's bona or so. Sir, Cain de Reli, others disagree. Some are moda to a case of a plastic one as opposed to a metal one. It's a long story, but again, not for now. Seven, if someone hires a company to remove snow, must they stipulate that do not come on Shabbos? No such stipulation is required because it's amir l'nachri. The Mokam Mitzvah the Rabbim, talking about a shul. If you're talking about a private house, it's also a mitzvah. Someone may trip, slip, and aside from the fact that they may sue you, but put that aside for the moment, they may get hurt. And the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that streets where people pass by, you know, it's not a shul, but it's a street. It's a street in front of your house. Many people could be passing by. One of them could trip. And it could be injured by it, which we try to avoid. So therefore, asking a guy to come, you don't even ask him, just say nothing and he comes, would be okay. Eight, is there a scenario where receiving the COVID vaccine for someone with comorbidities and or advanced age could be allowed on Shabbos without violating the rights? Yes, if it's any situation with a chashash rochok of pikuach nefesh, of course you get ask a guy to do it on Shabbos. In theory, you could actually do it yourself, but that's a little bit remote because you should have done it before, you could do it the next day. But if you can't get it on a different date, you can ask a guy to take you there on Shabbos. Obviously, it's not like Hatchila. We should try to get it for a different date. Every situation, every state, every town, every place is different. Every situation, in terms of the comorbidities, are different. You can't give a case-by-case. It has to be a case-by-case decision in each and every situation. Nine. Many years ago, my Italian Roman Catholic neighbor mentioned that his mother's mother had been Jewish and converted to Catholicism. He was respectful of Jews, Judaism and halacha, but had no interest in being Jewish. I think he feels yichus goes by the father, not the mother. He is selling his apartment, moving to Florida, and recently asked me for a mezuzah. He explained until now he didn't need one, as my door was next to his. But now he needs one. Should I get him a mezuzah? If yes, how many? Is it toelis if he only puts on his apartment front door, and not in the rooms inside the apartment? Look, if he's Jewish, which he seems to be, he's chayv and mezuzah like any other Jew. The problem is, how will he treat the mezuzah? That's a good question. If he's not, you think he considers himself to be not Jewish, how will he treat the mezuzah? So it depends upon the relationship that the questioner has with the Italian Roman Catholic neighbor. If you can trust him, I would give him one mezuzah, let him put it on his front door. Maybe someone will ask him, are you Jewish? And he'll say, well, as a matter of fact, my mother's mother's Jewish, and they'll be makar of him, which should be. So it's also a kiruv tool. It's also a shmira tool, as the Rambam calls it, and others. But one is enough. I don't want to give him too many mezuzahs. You don't know how he's going to treat them. I believe you can only give it to him if you can trust him to treat it properly. 10. Should an avil say karbonos on the Shabbos during the week of Shiva? Gesher Chaim, page 254, permits. Pnei Baruch 178 forbids. Is there any generally accepted minhag? And if not, how should he be minochriyo? Why only on Shabbos? Why only on Shabbos? It depends on your custom every single day. If you say karbonos every day, it's printed in the Siddur. Whatever you say every day, you say it during the week of Avelis, even during the week. Whatever you don't say every single day, you should not be saying not during the week, not on Shabbos. Everyone has their own karbonos. Some say no karbonos. We know about that. Some say everything in the Siddur of karbonos. We know about that too. And some are selective. My habit has been to say four things of karbonos. Parshas HaTamid, and Parshas HaKtores, and Abayah HaMesader, and Ezel Makoma. So when I was in Avelis, that's what I said every single day, not only on Shabbos. Question 11. Okay. What's happening over here on the Erev Shabbos, when the Ovel comes in, is waits in the hallway, Pnei Baruch says, you do say it, which means the Prokem of Kabbalah Shabbos. It's part of Shabbos Davening, not Derech Limud. The morning's companion by Rabbi Reuben Drucker, Halacha 135, quotes the Kobo that it should be omitted. Is there any generally accepted minig? And if not, how should be machriya? It seems to me that they could both be right. That the Pnei Baruch says it's permissible to say it, which I think it is. It's part of the state of Kavua. Every single week he says these six Prokem of Tillim. Why should this week be any different? Must you say it? We can't say it too loud. You never really have to say Kabbalah Shabbos. It's only a minig, so we can't force a person to say it. So if people are waiting outside, that's the minig. You come in for Ms. Mashir, before Ms. Mashir. So some of them outside, they want to still say it. Some of them want to talk to the other Ravelim with other people. It's optional. Question 12. I know that there is a big, complicated sugya about if an Ovel may attend the Shabbos Shever Brachas Suda. In a case where he can come, may get one of the Shever Brachas by benching. Look, on a simple level, for a plain person, he should not be going to a Shever Brachas on Shabbos. There were those who say it's Befarhesi if he doesn't show up. Number one, the Shach quotes that Befarhesi is only Matar Yisurei Shiva. So Yisurei Shiva are so powerful, we cannot allow them to be detected in public on Shabbos. But Yisurei Shloshim Yud Beis Kodesh do apply on Shabbos. That the Shach explains that people who change their seat as they should, they go back to they stay in their changed seat on Shabbos. Don't go back to their original seat. Look at a person who is clean shaven. So he doesn't shave after 2 weeks. He looks terrible. But let him take a shave on Erev Shabbos? No, because that's not a Shiva Dika Yisr. That's reason number one why the Heter shouldn't apply. Reason number two is that they say, Sharei Teirutz Lo Ninalu. Why is not there? He's afraid of COVID-19. Well, before or after, Mr. Shem Bemher of Yomenu, he has a flu, whatever. He has his stomach went out. He couldn't come. It's hard to say Farhesya in such a circumstance. I mean, Rabbeinu Tam does say that. He says if you don't get Shlishi like he does every week, it'll be a Farhesya. But the Ramban seems to disagree. See, whatever you're passive, it's not a Farhesya problem. So therefore, it's very difficult to be a matter it B'toras Farhesya, but I know there are poskim who said, yes, it's a big complicated sugar, correct. If it's mutter, I'll give you a case where it possibly is mutter, okay? Let's say the father of the chosen. And the father of the chosen, he's not allowed to be absent because if he misses it, it'll disturb the chosen. And we don't want to disturb the chosen. That's why it's a heter of Moshe has to go to a son's wedding, even in the middle of Shiva, not to disturb the chosen. It happened in my family, with my brother and my nephew, in the middle of Shiva. He got off his low bench and took off his sneakers and his ripped shirt and his ripped jacket, and he put on regular clothes and regular shoes, I believe, and regular shoes. And he went to the wedding and he came right back. That gives you a bigger chiddush, even in Shiva. But that's the father of the chassan, because if he doesn't come, it's going to be painful to the chassan. And maybe painful to the father too. So there are two different svaras to be matter there. The Sheva Brachos, I'm not sure how much the second consideration would apply, although, Shabbat Sheva Brachos is not nice for a father to miss. There have been cases. I remember reading Rav Yoshua's biography. He did not attend the Shabbat Sheva Brachos for his daughter, Rebbetzin Kanievsky, because he couldn't miss 2 weeks in a row in Yerushalayim, and they made it in B'nai Brak because of the Chazon Ish. Someone told me that he had a conversation with him, that he asked him, did you ever regret, he was a big master, did you ever regret that you didn't close your Gemara to do something else? That he responded, yeah, I regret, I didn't go spend another Shabbos with the Chazon Ish. That's what I heard. But okay, that's a rarity. Almost all situations, the father does come. That would be, I think, a proper reason for a father to attend the Shabbos of his son. And can he get a bracha? Absolutely. Absolutely. Getting a bracha, for example, at a wedding, is considered a mitigating factor. Someone who is a rav, for example, and is asked to come to a wedding of a Talmud or a Bala Bas, so if they give him a kibbutz, a bracha, they need him there for that kibbutz, for that bracha. That's on the contrary. It's a reason to be lenient, not to be more strict. 13. I was approached by someone who was making a minyan for a group of Ashkenazim. The minyan takes place in a Sephardic shul. Is there any reason for them to not use the Sephardic Torah? Are they obligated? Would it be better to exert themselves to borrow an Ashkenazic Sefer Torah? Please address the shaila related to the Ksav. Also, the material is written. Some use klaf, some use grill. That's the time to go into all the particulars of the distinctions between Ashkenazi and Sephardi Sefer Torah. Suffice it to say that ideally everyone should stick with his own minhag. And therefore, it's proper for the people who are davening a group of Ashkenazim to get an Ashkenazi Sefer Torah. They should try to get one. If they're impossible to get it, the Sha'as HaTzchak, then of course they can use a Sephardi Sefer Torah. What's called impossible, what's not, that depends on the case. And how different is the Sefer Torah Sephardi from Ashkenazi depends on the case. Those are case-by-case considerations to reach a decision. 14. If an organization does a matching campaign and one of the matches pulls out and doesn't pay after the campaign, do they have to return all the money to the donors who gave under the assumption that their money was being matched? I think we should be honest with ourselves. These matching campaigns are often not exactly what meets the eye. It's a gimmick. It works very well. I give $1, turns into $4. It's very possible that the fellows giving $3 for my one was giving this money to the school or to the shul even before that. And now we'll characterize it as matching to create a greater incentive to people to give money. I think people, when they're giving with matching, I do it too. It's very nice. It's a good incentive. But if someone didn't match it, I wouldn't even be surprised. Could be giving the money before anyway, although he is matching it technically, but not because of my money. He was giving that amount of money before. That's a common case. So this is not such a common case. I hope it's not a common case. Guy backs out. We should make every effort, if a fellow backs out of his responsibility, to find somebody else to do it. If you work hard enough, you'll find someone else to do it. If someone else wants to do it, you don't have to give them money back. You don't have to tell people. If you can't, it's a little bit of a problem. Maybe you have to tell people. Again, it depends to a large extent on your understanding of the situation. Question number 15. If one replants a tree, does he need to restart the halachos of Orla? Simon Reish Tzadi Dalet Sifya Tess. Im Hoya Yochol Lichyos Ba'afar Harishon. If the tree could live with the dirt which is connected to it when it's replanted, below Tosefas Afar Acher, you don't need any more dirt in order for it to survive, Potter, otherwise chayev. So whether you restart the clock or not depends if the tree is an amount of dirt in which it could survive, then you don't have to restart the clock. But if it doesn't have that much dirt, then you have to restart. Now, these replantings, there's so many different ways of replanting. If you look at Piskei Teshuva, there, Sifkan Yud Gimel, number one, you shouldn't do it l'chatchila. Now, this fellow was replanting a tree. What does it mean? He took it out and put it back? Should not be done l'chatchila. Or he's buying a tree from some place where they did it themselves and didn't ask any questions. That's more lenient. That's correct. It's correct. It's also very difficult to be precise how the tree would last in that amount of dirt. We're not experts in the trees. It's really hard to know. More than that, Piskei Teshuva quotes that some say that it has to last for 3 years, that amount of dirt. Very hard to figure that one out. But the saving grace is, the same Piskei Teshuva, that this only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Because whenever we're in doubt in Eretz Yisrael about the Orla, we have to be machmir. But Safek Orla b'chutz laretz is mutter. And therefore, in all these doubtful cases, there's more room to be lenient in chutz laretz than there is in Eretz Yisrael. 16. If a Rav says Abdullah et shul for the shul, what should be done for his family? No boys over bar mitzvah. Should he say Abdullah for his wife? Should she say it for herself? The Mishnah Brura says in Siman Reish Tadivov, Siv Kotten Lamed Vov, if a man says Abdullah for a woman, there's a possibility of Brocha Levatola, because he already fulfilled his obligation. She may not be obligated. Therefore, it's better that she should make the Abdullah, because if she makes the Abdullah, even though she's not obligated to make the Abdullah, presumably it would be optional for her, as opposed to somebody else who's Motzi a Bar Chiyuva, but she may not be a Bar Chiyuva. And therefore, she should make the Abdullah. Ay, 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 but everyone knows you grow a beard, a mustache. No, he can drink the wine. She should make the brachas, and he can drink the wine or the grape juice. That's the best possibility to solve all the world's problems. 17. My shul stopped reciting Kiddush Friday night and Abdullah in shul when the virus started. Do we have to restart when food is allowed, or can we treat it as the minhag has stopped and is no longer necessary? That's a very good question. I've thought about it myself. My shul also stopped. And when I came to the shul way back, now with B'liyah and Hara 47 years ago this month, so I was a little perturbed by the fact that they were making Kiddush on Shabbos Friday night, because, you know, in the yeshiva we didn't, and the shtibul they didn't, their estro they didn't. And I said, maybe we should reconsider. So the good Yekesh Balabatim told me, young rabbi, we don't change Minhagim over here. Well, you know, to change Minhagim against the will of the Balabatim, it could be fatal, Rachman al-Islam. That's what the Maharil changed the piyut in Regensburg, because he wanted to be honored by Rabbi Chaim Regensburg, who lived there, was buried there. And the Balabatim said no, and he ignored them, and Nebuch, his daughter, died. He blamed it on his mistake. So clearly, I would never do such a thing at the present time. It's true that the Yekesh influence of my shul has waned significantly over the last 47 years. Still have some people from that group, and therefore, it's unlikely there would be maskim to stop the Kiddush, which is a strong German minig. They even got reshus in the Sharoshi minig Ashkenaz, Rabbi Hamburger, to do it in certain places in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a very strong minig. The Ramah says, and the poskim say you shouldn't change. You shouldn't change. You should keep this minig. So I fully expect that when we restart having food in shul, that the Kiddush and Havdalah will go back to its place. And the Piskei Teshuva in Siman Reish Samach Tes, footnote 2, he says, even though the Rav Mechaber says, shouldn't be done, if a shul does it, they should keep it. Who does he quote there? Rav Avadja, Yechav Adas, Rav Sternbuch, Shuvas Van Hogus, odd couple. They both agree that this should not be changed, even though the Mechaber says he shouldn't do it. But once the minhag has been established in the shul, it's probably better to leave it and not to change it, even if you get everyone to agree with you to change it. I think it's probably not a good idea. Perhaps there are those who disagree on that last point, But at the present time, I don't plan to change it again. When we return, the presumption is it will happen again. What will happen if the Balabatim want to change it? That'll be a different story. They say, we like it this way without Kiddush and Avdola. That puts the Rav in a tough spot, because then he has to fight against the Balabatim to keep an old minig which has been discontinued for over a year. Unfortunately, the year mark is passing right now. Our last Kiddush in Shul is this Parsha Zohar. Wow, that's right. The full year has passed since the last Kiddush in Shul is again Parsha Zohar this week. What can I say? But I guess time will tell. 18. In Siman 442, the Shulchan Aruch says that if a chametz becomes nifsal me'achilas kelef, there's no longer a problem to own on Pesach. Mishnah Berurah 43 adds, there's also mutabana, but Mishnah Berurah 43 added it's asati because of akshavei. However, Rav Moshe Igris Aruch Chaim 292 says by medicine, there's no akshavei. Okay, what's the question? A. If so, why do all people, individual, kashas, websites, and shuls work so hard to obtain lists of which medicines have chametz in them? From Moshe permitted it. I assume that others argue with Rav Moshe's chiddush. Isn't it strange that in America, the minhag would not be like Rav Moshe? Gadol Hador? B. If one would follow Rav Moshe's chiddush, would there be any reason not to say it also by chewable pills, flavored, swallowable pills, or by liquid medicine? C. It seems to me that even if one would follow Rav Moshe, it would still be a problem of akshavei to mix of chametz medicine into foods like applesauce. If I'm correct, would it be similarly forbidden to take the pill with water? Okay. It is a big machlokes. It is true. The minig to be machmir is a typical Pesach minig. Chumr de chametz. Chumr de chametz. There are even reasons why chametz should be more kal with respect to some of the situations of nifsal. Without going into the details right now, it's chorcha kodem zmano. It becomes possible before the time. That can't exist when it comes to Macholos Asuras. They've been also since Mamad Har Sinai. But that's why Chomet should be more Kal. However, it could also be more Chomer. Could be it's more Chomer for we Aser Mashu or Nosem Talmud of Gam. There could be reasons or whatever. Many Chomer the Chomet applies in many situations. So it is true that there's reason to be makel based upon Rav Moshe, but there's reason to be a machler for either because of a chumra the chumras, even though you know it's mutar mikra radin, or those who disagree, they apply achshavei to medicines. The Shagas Ari seems told that way. I saw a quote, I believe Rabbi Belsky quoted in his Shulchan Alevi, Perek Chof, that two of the greatest gedolim of America were strict about this topic. Who are the two greatest gedolim of America besides Rav Moshe? Rav Henkin, who preceded Rav Moshe here to America, and it was considered the posting before Rav Moshe came in the Lower East Side, and even after Rav Moshe came, he still was considered the number one posting by many. And Rav Aaron Kotler, who was, he wasn't known as primarily as a posting, with a Rosh Hashiva, but obviously his Pesachim were also, can't say he wasn't the Gadol in America, so it's possible that in America, the reason that people are strict, because even though the Rav Moshe said what he said, both Rav Henkin and Rav Aaron Kotler said Fakert, there's reason to be Machmir. Now, B, I think Rav Moshe's Chiddush would apply to other medicines as well. C, I don't see the comparison between putting medicine into food, then you would say Achshavei, but take the pill with water, unless you mean you're diluting the pill, you're dissolving the pill in the water, but you're having a pill with water, so the water is kosher lePesach, and the pill is not in the water, there would be no Achshavei. 18. Is there a generally accepted psak about if chametz that became bottle of chos of veneer on Pesach? In OC 447, we see that by lach b'lach, everyone agrees that we are not say chos of veneer. But by yavesh b'yavesh or by yavesh b'lach, Ramos machmer. Yet our chashuk and also Noda b'Yehuda testify that all of Poland and Ashkenaz they passed that there is no chos of veneer ever. Who am I to stick my nose in between the Noda b'Yehuda and our chashuk on one hand, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah on the other hand? The Mishnah Berurah assumes that the Ramah is correct, and therefore I would say that you play it safe and consider Chos of Veneer in such a case to be a problem. Okay, next question, number 19. what is the proper procedure in terms of the brachas on the Megillah for a man laying at home for his wife and children all under Bar Bas Mitzvah? Who should make the bracha, and which bracha is recited, Lishmo al Mikra Megillah? Very, very good question. Very good question. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tav Reish Tzadi Beis of Gimel that someone who already said the Megillah or heard the Megillah can make a bracha for someone who has not. And the Mishnah I say, it's called Yud Kei Nagu. Even though there were those who say it's better that the person who is listening should make the bracha. Piskei Tshuvos in footnote 28 claims that now the minig is that the person who's listening makes the bracha. And they quote the Mishnah Berurah, says this elsewhere, the Bialoch and Reisha and Gimel Siv Dalet, and the Shaar Tzion Siman Ches Sivkan Chaf Aleph. This is all quoted in the Dirshu, footnote 21. So it's apparently it's a dispute what the minig really is. I guess it depends on the circumstance. Is the woman comfortable to make a bracha? Is the man comfortable to make a bracha? So it would seem to me it's probably better for the woman to make the bracha. But if she's uncomfortable, then the man should make the bracha. But there's a throw in here. Children all under Bar Bas Mitzvah. So why is this relevant? Because the bracha of Lishmo Megillah, which is a big machlokes, applies to women. It does not apply to men, and it does not apply to ketanim either, because there's chinuch requires a mikra Megillah. So I would say that if there's boys under Bar Mitzvah, we should certainly say a mikra Megillah. If there are only females, then it's a big machlokes. It depends upon the Bahag against the rest of the world. The Bahag, the famous Bahag, that says that women only chayav in Shmiya and men in Kriya. So the Ramah on that basis says you should make a bracha l'shmo Megillah. And that's what's one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. The other opinion says, no, women can read for a man. She's chayav in Mikra Megillah. And even if she's chayav only in Shmiya, why can't she do a Mikra as a Ashkenazi woman can volunteer to make a bracha even though they're potter? To make a bracha on the Tilas Lulav, on the Shmo called Shofar, Leisha Besukah, they're potter from that too. I once said a pshat that the reason why the Ramoaz says the Shmo Megillah is to demonstrate that women are only chayav in Shmiya, not in Kriya, Dafka, so that they shouldn't make a mistake and have a woman read the Megillah for a man. And I don't know what the Ramoaz worried about in Krakow in the 1500s, but in the 21st century in New York, that's certainly a concern. So maybe that's the reason why the Ramoaz pshat would be appropriate if there are only women there. But if there are boys under my mitzvah, then Al Mikra Megillah should be said. Number 20. If I am laying for my wife and children at home, should I still go to shul and hear the Megillah in shul, or just laying for my family and be yotzi then as well? Look, it seems to me, given COVID-19, and there's now talk of overcrowdedness in shuls, our own shul put out registration forms to make sure we don't overcrowd. I saw two of the greatest Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Osher Weiss and Rabbi Yitzhak Yosef, both put out a cruise. The women should stay home for Parsha Zohar, which in my shul would not be necessary. I don't think we have overcrowdedness for Parsha Zohar. We're not going to say they should stay home for Purim because they're obligated in the Megillah. And therefore, we have to try to accommodate them. We have to have multiple minyanim. But if the person is laying for his wife at home, and normally you go to shul, Barovam Hadras Melech, it's a better idea. In a year like this, perhaps, since if seats are at a premium and people are very concerned, perhaps it's better to just read the Megillah at home for the wife and children and not go to shul. 21. Some people seem to have a custom of reading two words in the Megillah different ways. One is the pasuk of Vahashmin Larogol Abed, some say the Vav. The other one is, it should say here, Bifnehem and Lifnehem. What is the source for this and should this be done? The Piskei Tshuvos in Siman Tav Reish Tzadi, footnotes 13 and 14, says it's a minhag from the Chasam Sofer. So it goes back a long way. I think it should be done. The Chasam Sofer said it. And therefore, in my shul, as a matter of fact, it is done. I know that there are other things such as Zecher and Zecher. And in most shuls, we say Zecher and Zecher. There are three different ways to do it. Simcha Zecher, Zecher Amalek. Timcha Zecha Amalek, that's how we do it. Or repeat the whole Pasuk. Three ways. I remember that Dr. Breuer put out a whole kuntris explaining that they have now the keter, and it's clearly it should be zecher. And he wants to know, are we going to change our minhag? I said, absolutely not. The keter is not always what we follow. I still remember that I was once diving with Rav Nevensal Shlita in his Vesikin Minyan by the coastal of Maravi. It was Parshas Miketz. It was Hanukkah. And there was an oh and an ah. And one, I thought one was present tense, one was past tense. And the Baal Kori read it the way it does not say in the Siddur. So I called out. And none, there was no reaction. So when I was walking back with Rav Nevensal up those little hills from by his minion, I asked him the question. Didn't he say it the wrong way? He smiled with his beatific smile and said, "Anachnu hochim lefi haketer." Now, if you follow the keter in Parshas Noach, you have a problem of vayihi and vayiyu, which that's where it comes up. So again, I don't want to get involved in machlokes between academics and rabbonim. I think that we should still do zecher and zecher, and should still do lahashmid le'arbein and ul'arbein, and bifnei and lifnei'em, notwithstanding the fact that certain proofs can be brought to one reading or the other. Thank you very much, and have a happy Purim and a safe Purim.
Rebbe, thank you very much. We hope, Ezrat Hashem, we can call upon Rebbe again in the near future. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.